KMCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness, Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Boy, we're at the end of the month, which is always good because I love my guest. I mean, always, but I can't believe the September's gone so quickly. However, because it is the last, it means we have Tom Campbell with us today. And Tom is just an amazing man. You really need to, if you haven't, and I hope you have been, because we're going to kind of follow a topic that we sort of started 2 months ago. So I hope you've listened to the other two, because we're going to get into some more information on consciousness, which I think is really, well, especially for a lot of spiritual people, this would probably be the more spiritual one. But it, you know, it's always so important, but there's so much information that you can find out. And Tom has, you know, gifted so many of his workshops on YouTube, and you can spend days listening to it. So Google his name, Thomas Campbell or Tom Campbell, or his acronym, which is TWCJR44, and that will get you both. Well, that'll get you everything as well, because he uses that for YouTube. And he also has a website. He wrote a trilogy of books called My Big Toe, and TOE is an acronym for Theory of Everything. and you can find out more about him also on his website, which is mybigtoe.com, but there's hyphens in between or dashes in between, so my-big-toe.com. And really, there's so much information. There's a forum that you can get to if you go through his website that has just so much information as well, and all the people that have been following him and asking questions, and you can ask questions. So, you know, just take advantage of this, you know, opportunity to really get to understand consciousness and Tom's incredible wealth of knowledge. So, as always, welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Lori. It's always fun to be here.
Yay. So we're going to talk, we're going to build on really the first show that was back in July, and then we kind of broke down some of the real basics in August about consciousness and, you know, the rules of the game and why they're important. And so now we're going to take it to the next piece, which is really about, you know, you mentioned in the first show about higher consciousness and how it really does want us to succeed. And you also mentioned, you know, because there are people that are very religious, you know, it's not like we're putting down religion in any way, that if you wanted to, you could see the similarities of, you know, in religion, God to higher consciousness. So I just want to talk about all of that, because I think that's an important piece that I'd like to expand on today.
Okay, well, any particular, that's a pretty big piece you just pulled out there. Yeah, that's a that's a big bite to chew on.
So parts of me wants to explore the religion part. Not, I mean, just because every culture, every society, that we all have an idea of religion, we see religion. Clearly, in religion, there's a bit of a hierarchy. In the higher consciousness, and I'm assuming there must be, is there a bit of a hierarchy as well to higher consciousness?
Well, yes. Yeah, in my model, I have what I call the larger consciousness system. And that is the one thing, you know, that is real. And everything else is derived from that. So that's the beginning. And in the books, I start with that as just almost like a single-celled thing that has to evolve. And it evolves into this larger consciousness system. And when I was at Atlanta, and this is on YouTube, I was at the Unity Church in Atlanta. And I was on a panel with two people. It was the leader of that Unity Church plus I think, the founder of that Unity Church, and both of them had their degrees in theology. They were both theologians.
Yes.
And I asked them on this panel, I said, well, tell me, what are the fundamental basic characteristics of God? What are the attributes, the fundamental things that you would use to describe God? And they thought about that for a minute and came off with a, you know, with a list of the things you might think, you know, all-knowing, you know, love, you know, cares about us, you know, that sort of thing, you know, in charge. You know, I'm not being very eloquent here, but it was a long list of the kind of things that most people would say. Now, there was no dogma involved in it. It wasn't, you know, God's a little old man with a long white beard, you know, playing with his pet people. You know, it wasn't that kind of a thing. These were all just the bigger, what should we say, characteristics, not the dogma specifics.
Right.
And the thing that was interesting, and the reason I'd asked the question, is all of their descriptions were completely apropos to the larger consciousness system.
Right.
Everything they said was the fundamental characteristic of God was also a fundamental characteristic of the larger consciousness system. So that's an interesting thing. Now, the larger consciousness system is not infinite. It's not perfect, either one. It just is. It's a natural system that has evolved to be the way it is. And it has all the attributes that we think of as those belonging to God. So there's your connection between consciousness and the larger consciousness system being, you know, the one, you know, the system. Yeah. We are all parts of that. We're all pieces of that system. And we're all netted. We can all communicate with each other, you know, through that system. We can travel. We can remote view. We can do out of body. We can do that because we are consciousness, and we therefore can become a part of that system and move around in that system if we know how. So it's, you know, we're thinking of this big consciousness system, but it is just a real system. That's why it can't be infinite, because nothing real can be infinite, because infinity is just an abstraction. It doesn't actually exist. If you ever had something that was infinite, well, you could add something to it, and, you know, then it would be bigger than infinite, which, of course, is an oxymoron. So infinity is can't be a real thing, and this larger conscious system is a real thing. And we here in this physical reality, this is a virtual reality based on information, because this larger consciousness system is basically a digital information system. That's how it evolved. And from our viewpoint here in this virtual reality, it's non-physical. So you say we're kind of filling in some of the points around the edge. But yes, this system has, for many people, taken the place of God in their own personal theology, in their own personal religious. I've had several people who describe themselves as very religious, and they also think that the my big toe theory just suits them wonderfully. And I had one lady who says, everywhere I go, I carry two books, the Bible and my big toe. So that's, you know, they feel that the my big toe provides rational answers as to all the things they kind of believed and knew were true intuitively, but didn't really have a logical scientific process to get there.
Right.
It was just kind of belief and faith. And then the My Big Toe gives them a logical construct that gets them to the same thing without the belief or the faith, either one, with good logical and scientific thinking. So there is this connection between consciousness and God, in that God very well is described by this larger consciousness system. Mm-hmm. And part of what you started with was that this system, you know, is our advocate. It wants us to succeed, because what we are doing is, as part of the system, is we're part of that system's strategy to evolve. So this system, like any other system, has to evolve. You know, it's evolve or die. You continue to grow and learn and become, or you stagnate and die. And in an information system, that means you continue to improve the the quality of your system, decrease the entropy of your system, or eventually you stop, you stagnate. If you stop evolving, kind of fall apart. Your data falls apart and you get more and more randomness, and pretty soon you just disappear. You're not a system at all. So it's in the same kind of, evolve or die as everything else. Now, evolution is an open-ended process. You never get to the end of evolution. Evolution just happens. You see, it doesn't have we've evolved to this end spot and that's it. You know, we'll always stay exactly this way forever. Evolution doesn't work that way. Evolution constantly is adjusting and kind of redefining and reengineering itself to suit the environment that it finds itself in. And that environment can be an external environment or it can be an internal environment. So everything is always in a state of flux, and this larger consciousness system evolves by decreasing the entropy of its system, and that we can derive logically to be equivalent to becoming love. Okay, so that's the point, is we as part of the system are part of its evolutionary process. We're here in this virtual reality making free will choices so that those choices will help us grow toward becoming love. That's really the whole point. And as we do that, then we decrease our entropy, the entropy of our consciousness, and because we're a part of the whole decreases its entropy because we've decreased ours and we're a part of it. So you see, we're part of this larger system's evolution. We're part of its process of keeping going, survival, if you will. And because of that, it really would like us to succeed as opposed to fail. So it has all sorts of strategies that it can use to help us succeed. You know, things like synchronicities, things that just happen that put just the right thing in front of us at just the right time when we need it. Often people will have some sort of, we call it a peak experience. It may even be a paranormal experience where they have some thing that happens to them that doesn't have a normal explanation, therefore paranormal means, you know, beyond normal, and it opens their mind to a bigger picture. You know, it may be a religious experience, it may be a spiritual experience, or it may just be, something very, very strange. Maybe they get a direct communication from their Uncle Fred who died, 10 years ago or something like that. So any of those things, those are things that just are there to pry open your mind. It's not that the message you get from Uncle Fred is all that important. It's that the fact that you got the message starts to pry open your mind to think in terms of a bigger picture. And that opens you up to a bigger understanding, which opens you up to being aware of what you're doing here is trying to grow up, become love. So it does help us. And, there's lots of people who have gotten intuitive information just at the right time to help them avoid something that would have been very unpleasant. And, that happens to all of us. Well, that's the system trying to help us succeed, because our success is its success.
Right. Okay. We're going to go into this much more deeply as we come back from break. We're going to go to break right now. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tom Campbell with me. You can find out more about Tom. Google his name. Go to his website, mybigtoe.com, with hyphens in between. So my-big-toe.com. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Could sound be the medicine of the future? Doreen Davis in The Cycle of Sound, A Missing Energetic Link, introduces a model for the 21st century to balance the personal sound vibrations of each person. Read about a newly identified subtle energy system that supports a self-healing approach for the body to feel better, think more clearly, process what is said better, feel more alive, and so much more. Check Amazon.com for The Cycle of Sound, A Missing Energetic Link by Doreen Davis. setting the stage to integrate sound as medicine of the future.
I can hear her heartbeat from 1,000 miles. Yeah, the heavens open every time she smiles. And when I come to her, that's where I belong. Yet I run into her like a river song. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She got a fine sense of humor when I'm feeling low down. Yeah, when I come to her, when the sun goes down. Take away my trouble, take away my grief. Take away my heartache, and I act like a thief. She gave me love, 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 love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. Yeah, I need her in the daytime. Yeah, I need her. And I want to throw my arms around her,
I need her,
and kiss and hug her, kiss and hug her tight. Yeah, when I'm returning from so far away, she gave me some sweet loving, brighten up my day. Yeah, and it make me righteous, yet it made me whole. Yet it made me mellow down into my soul. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, love,
crazy love.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tom Campbell with me. Again, I can never say enough about Tom. You can even get his books online, the My Big Toe Trilogy. You can go to Google Books. You can download it, and you can read it. Not an easy read, but definitely a fascinating one. And one of his workshops that he likes to recommend the most is the latest Calgary one, so on YouTube. Anyway, so much information, but we were talking about higher consciousness and its connection with religion. I wanted to bring in, you know, with religion, there, as you said, so much dogma. There's also a portion of fear that is within all of the religions, whether it's the devil or it's some sort of manipulation to try and control us. And there is aspects of that everywhere, and there are a lot of people that think that there are lower states of consciousness, or that there are higher states of consciousness that have a dark twist to it, and that is to try and keep us where we are instead of growing. So when you say that, you know, higher consciousness is here to be our advocate, there's lots of people that think that there's a dark force that is also trying to maintain itself. Let's talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about that for a while.
Yeah.
let's start with the concept of fear. I mentioned in the last segment that what we're trying to do, and the point of our being here is to evolve to become love. And that's what the whole system, that's what the larger consciousness system is doing. It's decreasing its entropy. It's becoming love. Why? Because that is the optimum relationship in a social system. And consciousness is a social system. You have all these little pieces of consciousness, all the subsets, which are you and I and everybody else. We're all these individuated units of consciousness, and we interact because that's what an information system does. It exchanges information. So we're interacting. That makes it a social system, and the most effective, the most optimal relationships you can have within a social system are relationships based on love. So that's why the growing toward becoming love is the growing toward lowering your entropy, toward evolving, toward, you know, growing up. So that's the idea. You might call it spiritual growth, you know. So that's the point. All right. Now, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. Fear is not about other. Love is about other. Fear is about self.
Mm.
Fear is always focused on you. If you're afraid, you're afraid, you know, coming from, you know, your core. Now, fear creates a few things. Because of your fear, you create ego. Ego is the way you deal with your fear. And you also create beliefs. Beliefs is a way that you create with the fear of the unknown, things that you don't know. And it bothers you that you don't know them. It upsets you that you don't know them, so you make up a belief, and then now you know them. You see, you have faith that they are the way you think they are. So fear also leads to belief. Now, we do have a lot of fear, and every piece of consciousness in the larger consciousness system hasn't become love yet. You know, we've got a lot to go. So we do have negativity. We do have dark forces, if you will, because we haven't grown up. We're still in the process of evolving. The system is not a done deal. So the system is not perfect, and it has these parts that are in the process of evolving. And it's the evolution, it's the change that's important. You see, that's how you evolve. Evolving has to go through a change of process, and the change has to be internal. You can't just have an external change. In other words, the larger conscious system couldn't just say, okay, everybody, you know, you're going to be loved tomorrow. You know, that doesn't count. there's no growth in that. The growth is where you change yourself and become something different. That's the growth. You don't get growth just by duplicating. In other words, the larger conscious system is this way, and it just duplicates itself, you know. And, you know, for all of us, it's like, you know, if you have something and you just duplicate it, and now you have 1,000 of them or 10,000 of them, you haven't done anything. You haven't created anything new. You haven't actually grown any. All you've done is multiplied. You know, you've created a whole lot more of the same thing. Well, what we're trying to do is grow up, become different, change. And that can't be done just by duplicating what already exists. You have to take what already exists, which is an imperfect thing, and change it, you see. So that's the point. It's not get rid of it and overlay it with something else. That's right. Not a growth process. Right. That's just a, you know, switching one thing for another. Well, we already have that one thing, you know, right. And just making a whole lot more of that isn't the point. The point is to grow up. So here we are, and the enemy is fear, and the goal is love. But now let's talk about this fear. Fear is a thing that allows other people to manipulate us. So think of fear. The fear you have is like a big handle on your back, and anybody can reach out and grab that handle and just move you around any way you want if they understand your fear. So everyone who would like to manipulate us, and there's lots of people who would like to manipulate us, but everyone who would like to manipulate us finds that fear is a very convenient way to do it. It's the biggest handle we have. Now, who would like to manipulate us? Well, marketers, for one thing, advertisers, right? You know, if you don't drink this beer, then, you know, the girls won't like you. You know, well, that's because there's a lot of people out there, you know, that feel that they're not liked, and they think if they drink the right beer, you know, well, that's what the ad says. You know, if you wear the right clothes and drive the right car and spend your money in the right way, then people will like you, particularly the opposite sex, you know, will like you a whole lot better. Well, that's just playing on people's fear. It's a way to manipulate people based on their fear. And if you look at almost every ad you see, it's manipulating fear of some sort. That's how they get your money. Well, religion does a similar thing. You see, we have spirituality, and that's about becoming love, okay? And then we have religion, and maybe we should say organized religion, but I don't know exactly what disorganized religion is, but organized religion, anyway, is about the organization. Anytime you have an organization, then that organization requires care and feeding. You know, the organization needs resources. The organization needs a place to meet. The organization needs leaders. The organization, you know, has to have resources to do its job. And the way it gets resources is by having lots of members in the organization. So the very first thing is to get members in your organization. And the second thing is to get those members to share some of their resources with you. Well, that means you need to manipulate people. You need to manipulate them to join, and you need to manipulate them to be generous and share. And how do you do that? Well, the easiest way and the most effective way to do that is to use fear. If you don't join our organization, terrible things will happen to you. You say you will go to hell. You won't, you know, you'll have misery. The devil will get you, whatever. So you need to join our organization. And whether that organization is, you know, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, or whatever, doesn't make any difference. It's the idea that you need membership. Without a membership, the organization is defunct, doesn't exist, and doesn't have any resources and can't function, and doesn't need leaders. But with an organization, you need all those things. So now you have hierarchy. You have priests and other people trying to vie for power within the organization. And pretty soon that becomes more a game of power and career than it does a game of spirituality. Just like the organization has to do with the care and feeding of buildings and property, sanctuaries, chapels, all this sort of thing is required besides spirituality. So organizations of all sorts, be they marketers, be it the legal system. The legal system makes these laws, and they want you to act nice, because otherwise there's fear if you don't. We'll get you. We'll put you in jail. You see, we want to manipulate people. Just think, who else would like to manipulate us? Politicians, governments, you know, and it's all about fear. Oh, we're on code red, you know, everybody hunker down and hold your heads. You know, we work up enough fear, and we can have those people do anything we want. We can have them vote any way we want. We can have anything we want out of them if we just frighten them enough. So what we get is a steady dose of fear. What's the news about? All the things you should be afraid of. You know, devastation, destruction, crime, you know, all the things that should frighten you. That's what we hear about all day long from our news. That's the only thing that really interests us. Can't sell a happy story. You can only sell a terrifying story. See, so if some little girl disappears, you know, on a Caribbean island and nobody hears from her, then that'll be on the news for, you know, months. You'll hear all about that because that's frightening. Everybody who has a little girl, you know, can relate to that and how terrifying that is that your child is missing. So we are fearful. We have big egos, and this allows us to be manipulated. So yes, religion has used that. Religion, the organization, has used that. Now, spirituality has no need for buildings or hierarchy It just is.
It's oh, I wish that was so true. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a message. when we come back from break, you are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tom Campbell. Check him out on the web. Google his name, Tom Campbell, Thomas Campbell, Thomas Campbell, physicist. And you are listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Coming out today, staying in, it's gonna find another way. Yeah, as I sit here in this misery, I don't think I'll ever know, Lord, see the sun from here. Doors are better away, they'll all look. Look at me and say, and they'll say, hey, look at him. I'll never live that way. That's okay. It's just a fresh change.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Thomas Campbell. We've been talking about, I guess, higher consciousness today. It's kind of the higher consciousness versus religion. Right before I broke you up, you started talking about spirituality. And I'd like to mention, I think that this is a big point because I think a lot of people join organizations that have a spiritual, because I think it's because we're all in a search. We're all in a search to find the answers, and we keep looking outside of ourselves. And I think the point you're going to bring about spirituality is very important, which is it's inside of us. So please talk about that and how sometimes even spiritual organizations, well, as soon as an organization is created, it no longer becomes, there's always some sort of dogma involved or fear.
Yeah. So what I was saying before the break was that spirituality is personal. Spirituality is something that you are. It's not It's not something that you do. It's not about action. It's about who you are at the core, at the being level. That's spirituality. You can't become spiritual by, you know, building buildings or, you know, talking to the people. That doesn't make you more spiritual. And you cannot make anybody else more spiritual, or you can't make anybody else, in my terminology, grow up or evolve the quality of their consciousness. That can't be done. It has to be done from the inside out. Every individual must make the choices to change themselves to become love, to become a higher quality consciousness, to become more spiritual. So the thing that you can do, though, is you can provide an environment that makes people feel safe and secure to make those changes, to grow up. That's one thing you can do, is provide the supportive environment. Okay, now that's a helpful thing. But, you know, the biggest way that you can help provide that supportive environment is to grow yourself, is to be an example, is to grow up. Because when you're grown up, when you become love, then that light of yours shines around on everybody around you. That is the biggest encouragement, the biggest change in environment that you can make, is if you just fix yourself. So rather than focus on fixing other people, you should just fix yourself. Because if you can grow up, increase the quality of your consciousness, then that's the optimal way to help others. Because just by being around you, just by your example, by seeing the, you know, how you glow, it will help other people have the courage to follow, to do the same thing. Now, you can lecture, you can, you know, you can talk and whatever, and unless someone's ready to make changes themselves, you know, the talk isn't going to do a whole lot of good. People have to be ready to make the changes in themselves, to get rid of the fear, get rid of the ego, let go of the beliefs. And most of us are so tied up with our fear that we find that very difficult to do. We can't let go of that fear. If we let go of the fear, then, you know, the boogeyman would get us. You know, terrible things would happen. If we stopped trying to manipulate our world to be the way we want it, you know, everything would go to hell in a handbasket. You know, nothing would work. So we have all these fears, and that's what holds us here. And that's what gives us this reality that we're in. That's why when, you know, the news is negative, that's why, you know, there's lots of wars and famine and you know, nasty things going on in the world, is because that is an accurate picture of who we are. We human beings, we the human family, that's what we are. That's the way we are. That's the level of quality of our consciousness. That's how much fear and how much love we have. So, you know, what you see is what we are. And to go out and change it by, you know, changing laws, you know, forcing people to act more civil, that sort of thing, that doesn't really do a lot of good. You change the characters that way, you can get rid of one dictator and you'll get another one. Mm-hmm. Because that dictator is a representation of the people. He wasn't elected by the people, but he's one of them. You know, he's like they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many people won't like that, and they'll say, well, no, you know, those guys, they're really evil and bad, and the average person is really good. Well, the main difference between them is that they have a lot of power, and the average person doesn't have much. So the average person comes home from work and hollers at his family, you know, fusses at the kids, you know, argues with his wife, kicks the cat, and, you know, goes outside, and he just doesn't have power to wreak but so much havoc. And the guy in a very high position who is either very wealthy or who, you know, runs the country or something, you know, they have a low level of consciousness quality, but they can wreak a great deal of havoc with that low level of consciousness. So it's us at every level, not just the people in powerful positions, but the guy who kicks the cat. You know, it's all of us need to grow up. And when we do, our world will change by itself. We won't need those laws, those structures, you know, all that stuff. It will just take care of itself, because love doesn't need to be, you know, corralled. It doesn't need to be told what to do. What it does is the right thing.
Hmm. And love is all about giving versus...
Exactly. It's about giving. It's about other. It's,
yeah.
You know, one thing I say is that if, you know, we talk about unconditional love, if it's not unconditional love, it's not love.
Right.
If there are conditions, it's not about love. It's about you.
Yeah.
You see? And if it's about you, well, here are the things I need. You know, here's the things I need you to do for me. That's not love. That's about you. Love is about others. So there is no love other than unconditional love. So most of us, you know, don't live in a situation where we give unconditional love. It's because we have ego. We have our own needs and wants and desires and things and demands that we have to have things a certain way. Otherwise, if we didn't, well, people would walk all over us. It would be terrible. You know, we have to stand up for ourselves. Well, we believe that. That's our fear talking. The fear says that if you don't push back, you know, you'll be, you know, walked over. You have to stick up for yourself. That's not the way it works. When you are love, your world is wonderful. Your life is wonderful. Happiness comes to you not because you go seek it or you have a magic you know, recipe for happiness. Happiness comes as a result of a life lived well, lived in love, caring for other people. That's what makes your world work well, not you exercising control and manipulation to make it come out the way you want it.
Yeah. Which we do so well. And thinking may even have it, you know, thinking that it's for our highest good. Okay, so so much we can go through. What are the levels of consciousness? And I know we have, you know, a few minutes, so we can go for a little bit. But, well, like, so there's the higher consciousness, obviously, that is part of this oneness that we can all connect into. And then, like, do we have a soul? I mean, I see the spirit as the oneness and soul is kind of this thing that comes with us each life that, you know, gains experience, that works with us. Is that how you see it?
It's all just consciousness. It's
right.
Not that we have a soul. It's that we are a soul. You see, it's not that, oh, we're this physical body and we have this soul. The physical body is a virtual body. It doesn't actually really exist other than as information. We are consciousness, and consciousness, you know, soul is another way, another name for an individuated unit of consciousness.
Okay.
It's just a piece of consciousness. You can call it a soul, you could call it a spirit, or you could call it an individuated unit of consciousness. It's, you know, it's what we are, and it's just a piece, a part of the larger consciousness system. So we have this hierarchy that we talk about. We say, well, there's us. And then us as a piece of consciousness or a soul. And then there's our higher self.
Right.
And then there's guides. And then there's, you know, angels, you know, that sort of thing. So there's all this kind of hierarchy of beings. And then you go out of body or you go, you know, meet other non-physical people, places, and there seems to be hierarchy. Some of those seem to be a lot more evolved than others, and there's this, all the structure. Most of that is just metaphor, okay? The higher self, the guide, all of that is metaphor. Think of your guide or your angel as your personal interface to the larger consciousness system. There is just one thing, and that's consciousness. You know, like the Buddha said, you know, we're all one. There's not all these separate things, so we don't have you know, higher selves over souls and this hierarchy of, you know, who's in charge of who and how does it all flow down. That's us trying to make it so that we can deal with it, because it's easier if we pigeonhole everything and make a little, kind of a little being there. You know, we make something that we can deal with, and all it is, those are all metaphors for our connection to the larger consciousness system. Okay, otherwise, see, it doesn't make a lot of logical sense. You have this guide, and what does this guide do? Well, it's a being, and it just hangs out watching you, you know, live your life so they can give you advice when you ask. You know, that wouldn't be a very good job. You know, for most of us, that would be a very boring job, you know, just spending hours and hours. You know, we just sit there all night while the person sleeps, just watching them sleep, you know, in case they wake up and ask you a question. You know, It's not like that. It's just your interface. Now, we turn that interface into a being, because when we communicate with something, we define it as a being. We talk with it, it's a being, sort of like us, you know, but different. So that's the way we describe it. That's the way, that's our metaphor for it. So yes, there are guides, and we do interact with them, and they do give us advice, and there are angels, and there are all these things, but they're just metaphors for our connection with the larger consciousness system. And you can have your own personal interface, you know, just like you can configure your Windows, you know, on your computer to be your personal interface. And you can do that with your guide. They have senses of humor. They, you know, have all the attributes of any other being, because actually it is a being. It's part of the larger consciousness system, which is a being.
All right, let's break there. We have to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tom Campbell with me. Tom will be back on October 25th. Okay, thought you were going to be on the last day, which is would have been weird. Okay, so October 25th, you can find out more about Tom. Just Google his name, Tom Campbell, Thomas Campbell. You are listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com. The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul Friends with Tom Campbell. Okay, we've been talking about higher consciousness. We sort of ended that with talking about, you know, where our soul and spirit kind of fall in and the metaphors that we tend to use. I mean, clearly we do get nudges. Clearly there is an advocate that wants us to succeed. I'm still kind of trying to understand this lack of hierarchy, which I maybe that's just that we need to feel some sense of superiority, or it's part of that. But when we look at like advocates and stuff, I mean, there have been people that have come onto the planet at various times, and some will say right now even, where they may have less fear in them, or they may have evolved more. How does that sort of fit in? I guess that fits in with higher consciousness wanting to be our advocate. Is that kind of the purpose?
Well, yes. You know, evolution is personal.
Right.
We evolve by making choices. We make free will choices, and those choices help us move toward becoming love or becoming fear. And everyone is evolving on their own path. So obviously, everyone is at a different level in this process of evolution. And by level, I mean they've moved along toward becoming love more or less. So there is, you know, we think of maybe hierarchy in there. You know, I'm more involved than you are, you know, that sort of thing. But we also think of the master, you know, the guru, you know, they're more evolved than we are. Well, the point is, we shouldn't make this a thing that is a description of inferior and superior. The guru's superior and we're inferior to the guru. It's not about superior and inferior. It's just different. Okay, everybody is on their own path, dealing with what they have to deal with in the best way they can with whatever it is they happen to have to deal with it with, you know, with whatever they bring to it from their experience and from their past lives and so on. So here we are, all kind of in the same boat, doing the things that we have to do to evolve. And some of us have gone further and been working at this game longer than others, and that just makes them different. So if they evolve to a point where they have a lot more understanding, a lot bigger picture, a larger reality that they live in, then they help. That's what they want to do. Why do they help? Not because they're superior and they need to help the poor inferiors. It's because they help because they want to. It's something they can do. They help because they can, because they have the ability to help. And most of us have an ability to help at whatever level we're at. We can all help at our own level. So if you have evolved, more, then the level at which you can help is a little different level. So, but it's just different. So we need to stop thinking in terms of ourselves being inferior. Oh, I could never get there, you know. I can't be a guru because, you know, I have to hold a job and, you know, pay for a mortgage and help raise a family. I can't go off and live in a cave and, you know, sit down and cross my legs and meditate all day. So I just can't go there, you know. I can't be spiritual. Well, that's not what it takes. That's not the point. That's not what it takes. It's individual choice making, and we all have choices to make every day. And if we make them about other, and we care, and we're compassionate, and we're, you know, we want to help others, then those choices will move us toward becoming love and getting rid of our fear. So it's just that, you know, it's just that simple. We're different. We're not better. So it's not that guide is superior to you. That guide's an interface with the larger consciousness system, because the larger consciousness system wants you to succeed, so it helps you with an interface, gives you information, gives you encouragement, lets you talk with your dead Uncle Fred. You know, it helps you do these things, and because it's part of your growth. All these things that it does is to help you grow, help you see a bigger picture. If it doesn't help you grow, then it won't support it. It won't do it. That's why many of us can't talk to our guides with, in language. Say, my guide won't talk to me. Well, that's because if it talks to you, it will be dealing with you at the intellectual level, which will mostly have no effect. It needs to deal with you at the at the being level, which maybe we can call that also the intuitive level, has to deal with you where you are, not with your intellect and where you define yourself with your fear and your ego and everything else. So it doesn't want to get tangled up in that mess either. So if you can talk with your guides and not, warp the conversation with your fear and ego, then your guides will probably talk with you. If you can't, then they probably won't. You'll just get signs. You'll get intuitive feelings, but you won't get any conversation. So you get what you can use and get what you need.
It just reminds me of, I would used to have a group of people that would come and we'd do like a type of meditation, a kind of a guided meditation, and the message is always about love. I mean, there's not a big, it's not a big thing. It's always love. It's no matter what. It's not this descriptive information that, some people want when they go for psychic readings and stuff. It's just, it was always about love. And, it's so simple, but fitting it into our lives is, I guess, what makes it such a challenge. When we're not there or whatever.
Yes, well, that's, most people don't go, talk to their guides, about love or ask them about love. They want to know, should they paint their nails, red or white? They want to know, does he love me or does he not? They want to know those kinds of things, which all are about their fear and their ego. And they get, a mishmash of stuff back, but the system isn't that interested in supporting that sort of thing. So that sort of thing kind of flounders in the margins. But if you have a serious interest in growing up, all you have to do is put that thought, put that intent out there and be open, and you will get all the help that you can use.
Right. All right. Well, Tom, as always, wonderful to have you on the show. You'll be back on the 25th of October. Oh, my goodness. And we will expand on this topic because I think this is definitely something that is your area of interest, and it certainly is something that we're all interested in as well. So thank you again, and you've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.